Division in the Church by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
This morning we're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and we're looking at some important truths that God has for us, beginning with verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse number 10. It appears that they had a lot of problems in this church. And we know that Paul addresses some of them, at least. And he's heard from the house of Cleo about some of those problems. He will address them later in the book. But as Paul often does, and is a good example for us, he, first of all, commends them for things he can commend them for. This was a church that loved the Lord, but they had some problems getting along with each other. And in my studies, I found out that usually there's one thing that is the cause of contentions or divisions in a church. And so let's look to the Lord and ask Him to guide us through this particular passage today. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Guide us. Help us, Lord, to receive Your truth and to apply it in our lives today, realizing, God, that You want order and not confusion in Your church. The church that we look at today is one that had considerable amount of confusion and misunderstandings. Help us, Lord, to look to You. Help us all to have a heart to listen to Your Spirit, listen to His guidance and His truth, and to apply it to our lives today, that we might show forth that we are the people of God, that we stand together, we honor You, we seek to oppose evil in the world, and we seek to exalt You. Help us, Lord, guide us each day, keep us from danger, and use us to be a blessing as we share the Word of Christ with others. We ask and pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The Apostle Paul had already shared how thankful he was for this particular body of believers. He thanked the Lord that God was evident in their lives, that they loved the Lord, that they relied on the grace of Christ, that God's grace was in their lives, and that they were richly abounding in many of those gifts that God has entrusted to them. In fact, in verse 7, we noted last week that they came behind in no gift. That is, in other words, they had all the gifts that they needed. One of the things that we realize when we come to the Lord, God gifts each one of us in a particular way so that we can be used in the church that He's establishing. You know, when I think about all the gifts that God has blessed this body with, I'm thankful that God has seen fit to give out many gifts and uses those gifts to further the work of the Lord. And without those gifts, we could not do the work that we need to do as God's people. So I'm so thankful that God likewise has blessed us. And so Paul gives thanks. Thanks that this church was using the gifts that God had given them. He was thankful also that God had confirmed this church, that they were true believers, they were following the Lord, and one day the Lord is going to make them blameless. They're going to stand before the Lord, and they're blameless because of what Christ has done for them. Not on what they have done, but rather on what Christ does for us. He makes us blameless, because we stand now in the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. His merits are accounted to us for righteousness. Thank the Lord we don't have to depend on our own merit because we'd fall short. But praise God, He works in us by gifting us and giving us this blessing of blamelessness. God is with us. God is helping us. God is using us. So Paul blesses the Lord and thanks the Lord for these believers, who they are, what they're doing, how they're standing for the Lord in their lives. Then, having said those things, he turns to the first problem. Okay? By the way, it's always good to be thankful for something in everybody. You know, even the worst of us got something we can thank God for. We can thank God, first of all, as Paul did, that they have been gifted by God if they've trusted the Lord as their Savior. Because God always gives gifts to those He calls into His kingdom. Verse 10, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." In other words, here's a transition. Paul says, okay, I've said those things, good things about you. Now here's something else I need to say. I need to say this. I want all of you to realize that you all need to have the same thought. You all need to have the same mindset as you work and labor together. And the reason for that is if you don't have the same mind, that is the mind of Christ in your lives, you're going to have divisions. Some will believe one thing, some will believe something else. We need to all be on board, get in touch with the Spirit of God, and He will teach you to have the mind of Christ. In other words, if we have our mind right, if our mind is thinking like Christ thinks, we will be thinking the same things. Does that make sense? I mean, it should, because we cannot do together, collectively, the things that we need to do if one person is thinking something over here and somebody else is thinking something over here, and we got a problem, Houston. The communication's not there. There must not be divisions among us. And Paul will explain that as he goes further into our text this morning. And so, he wants them to realize, because Christ is in them, He's the hope of glory. But Christ, we must have His mindset. We must begin to think like Christ. We must listen to the Spirit of God and let Him direct us in all we do. And when we do that, God will bless. God will help. God will guide. God will strengthen us. God will cause us to be joined together mutually to serve Him the way that we ought to. Be perfectly joined together. In other words, don't be like some were. Some wanted all an ear. Some wanted all an eye. Some wanted all a tongue. Some wanted various different parts. All need to work together, Paul says. All need to do their part, and not pulling apart. So often today, we find God's people pulling apart. Divisions. It's important for us. Important for us to be on board. You see, we fight one common enemy. The enemy is not our brother or sister in Christ. The enemy is Satan and his hosts. We must fight in the Spirit of Christ. We must serve the Lord together in unity to get the job done. If one is doing one thing to hinder the work, and another is trying to do the particular work God has called them to do, there's division. They're not working as they ought. Paul hears this message from the house of Cleo. In other words, some members of that family had come where Paul had previously been, and they shared with him the fact that some were contending one with another, having arguments of what they ought or ought not to do. You know, there's a lot of things that people said, hey, you ought to do this, or you ought not to do this. It's kind of like heard about the little fellow that said, Johnny, you mustn't do that. Johnny, you mustn't do this over here. Johnny, you must not do this over here. And somebody finally says, mustn't. Aren't there any musts? You know, there are some musts. There's some things that we must do. We must labor together. We must be faithful and true to the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. I think probably one of the big problems is that we're not listening to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit is not divided. The Spirit of God is true and faithful. He is there for us to listen to follow His direction in our lives, and He will show us the way that we ought to go. Another key thing is this. When we think we've got the right way, when we think we're listening to the Spirit, does that agree with what the Word of God says? Does it agree? Because the Spirit of God and the Word of God always agree. Always agree. Always. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. God's Word and the Holy Spirit always agree. And so you will know you're on the right track if both of those things are lining up. It's important for us to listen to those things. Many times there's contentions because there's divisions about personal preferences. That's what I call them. You know, some say, well, I think I ought to wear a skirt all the time. You know? That's not a doctrinal issue. Sorry. There's a lot of things that are true all the time. You know? I know I honor the Lord. I need to honor the Lord whatever I do. I need to listen to Him. I need to be in tune with His Holy Spirit so He can guide me and make those right decisions in my life. God wants us to do what's right. God's Word gives us guidance on what to do and what not to do. But the Holy Spirit of God is there to say, this is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. Walk in. Or this is the way. Don't walk that way. Don't do those things. God wants us to learn to listen. Listen to His Word. Listen to His Spirit. That way we can avoid contentions. Because if we all get on board with the Spirit and the Word, we'll agree. Paul says in verse 12, this I say, every one of you saith, I'm of Paul. Now, here's the contentions. Usually there's one little group over here, we follow this. I remember in past experience, we had an individual that showed up for service when we were at Wellsville, and this person says, I'm a Pauline Christian. I said, what does that mean? He said, I follow the teachings of Paul. Okay. What does that mean? Well, I just read what Paul wrote. I said, who do you suppose Paul was following? What do you think? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Who are we all supposed to be following?
Jesus.
Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He's our guide. He's our Savior. He's our Lord, is He not? He's the one that shows us the way. He's the one that prayed to the Father and asked, have Him send the Holy Spirit to live inside of us in His absence. Aren't you glad? I mean, we've got His inward guidance. He will give you wisdom because He's there inside of you to help you, to strengthen you, to show you the way. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have the Spirit here inside of you to keep you, to protect you, to show you the way. And it's a blessing to have the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Savior in heaven, that we can pray and ask anything according to His will, and He gives those things. Thanks be to God. We have great help, great hope, not only now, but the future. Real hope. You know, some people hope in a lot of different things. You know, I've heard people say, well, I hope I'm going to win the lottery. Guess what? I know I'm not going to win the lottery. You know how I know? Because I don't play. I'm not going to play their game. That's a losing game. A losing game. They got it figured out. They got it figured out. You know who plays the lottery? Not Bill Gates. No. Not Warren Buffett. Okay? Not those things with massive amounts of money. The people that play are the people that can't afford to play. What they need to do is trust the Lord. Look to Him for guidance. God will guide. God will show the way. God will help us along the way if we look to Him. That's the answer. His Spirit will show us. He will help us. He will give us wisdom. This morning I was getting some pretty good advice. I'm glad to say it was one of you people. Now I've got all of you. Who was it we're talking about? Yeah, I'm talking about you in a good way. Because you were given good advice. Just saying. Wonder where that came from. I think God was working. Amen? God is still working in our midst. Listen to Him. He will point you in the right way. And He will help you keep from contending with others. Some people just like to argue. Guess what? I can talk about my father-in-law now. He's not here anymore. His life changed. He used to like to argue a lot. as he got older, his life began to change because Jesus was more active in his life. Amen? And because Jesus was more active, he wasn't near so contagious and near so hard to get along with. Okay? Praise God! That's what God can do. We all got problems. Let's face it. But God will help us to be more caring and more concerned if we simply say, God, here's my life. I can make a big mess of it. Help me to live the way I ought to do every day. Help me. Guide me. Keep me in your care. Make me a blessing today. God wants to work in us. And he gifts us so that we can be a blessing to others. Some would say, I'm of Paul. Others would say, I'm of Apollos. Remember Apollos was that orator that could really speak. He was one of those spellbinders. If you want to find one of those, you can just go on TV and find one. Right?
Yeah.
They're there. All kinds of them. But listen to what they're saying. Okay? Have an acute ear hearing. Compare it with what the Word says. If they're not following the Word, don't be listening. Amen? If they're not following the Word, don't listen. But some say, I'm of Paul, others of Apollos, others Cephas, or that's Peter. But others that are more spiritual said, I'm of Christ. No, I'm of Christ. Paul said, we can go overboard on anything. Okay? It's hard to go wrong, though, when you're following Christ, isn't it? Truly following Christ. Not just making pretenses. Because if we're following Christ, and we're listening to the Spirit, and we're in the Word, reading the Word, absorbing the Word, letting it become a part of our lives, we'll be on the right track. We'll be headed in the right direction. And God can use us and our gifts to help others to keep on the right track. Because that's what God wants from us. Paul said, is Christ divided? No. There's only one Christ. Because he's the way, the truth, and the life. Was Paul crucified for you? No. No. Christ was. Are you all baptized in the name of Paul? No. Paul says, I'm glad I only baptized a few of you. Now, Paul is not saying that, but for a real purpose. Because people begin to say, hey, I like you, Pastor. You're pretty special. Guess what? I'm not special unless Christ is working in me. Unless Christ is taking control of my life and Christ is using me. That's the only time that I'm special. It's all because of Him and what He does in me. It's all His gifts. It's all things that I need to bless God for because He's provided those things. Thanks be to God. Paul said, I can't remember how many I baptized. I really can't remember. I can remember a few. And I certainly didn't baptize in my own name. By the way, baptism is important. It is. Someone said, what is baptism? Well, a real simple definition is this. It's an outward act that shows forth an inward fact. The Lord has cleansed you of your sin. And you're showing the world that the Lord has cleansed you. He's in your life now. You're a new creature now in Christ. You're not following those divisive ways of old. You're following those ways of Christ. You're following those ways the Spirit teaches you to walk. Walk in them then as God's dear people, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God wants us to walk His way. Oh, you say, Pastor, it's a hard way. Oh, it's easy, though, to walk with Christ. If you walk with Him, He'll show you the way. If you walk with Him, He'll give you the power to do what it is He wants you to do in the way. Listen. Listen with the voice, for the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will say, this way, that way. God will guide you. God will strengthen you. God will keep you together if you're listening to the Word, listening to the Spirit of God, and you're listening to the Lord Jesus Christ and the words He teaches you every day. Follow the Lord. Make Him Lord of your life every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that You want us to walk together in unity, that You want us to walk together in a way, a loving, gentle way. Guide us, keep us in Your care, make us a blessing every day to somebody. Point others to Jesus Christ, that He might make the same difference in them. Guide us all, Lord. Keep us and use us for Your glory. We ask and pray in Christ's name.